Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jen A. and I am residing here in Colorado. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God, for your grace and mercy. Today is Friday, October 4th, 2024. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter titled We Agnostics. We're on page 50. We're going to be reading that fourth paragraph and beginning with the last word on that page. Once confused and baffled, turn the page through four sentences ending in, they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. Today's readers, we have Team Friday. I'm so used to Team Thursday. Team Friday. 12 Steps is Deborah R.W. from Michigan. 12 Traditions is Tenzin P. from New York. Reader of the text is Karen M. from Texas. Closing reader, Anita L. from Pennsylvania. Backup reader, Susan H. from Ohio. Newcomer reader, Vanita L. Second hour moderator, Matt J.F. And guess what? Here comes the reference numbers for yesterday. So if you'd like to get those copied down, grab a pen and paper for Thursday, October 3rd, 2024. At 7 a.m. the Eastern Standard, Big Book 1794. That's 21794. Then the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Big Book study recording is 21795. Well, here we go. Here's the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose is that OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Deborah R. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. This is Deborah R.W. from Michigan. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
I will now ask Tenzin P. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York and the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Deborah R.W. and Tenzin P. Well, this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your shares to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on the topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read, or sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the chapter We Agnostics in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 50 and the end of 50 to 51, and we're going to read that fourth paragraph, four sentences. I'm now going to ask Karen M. to begin reading. Go ahead, Karen.
Good morning and happy Friday, everyone. This is Karen M., recovered compulsive overeater. Once confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence, they show the underlying reasons why they were making heavy going of life. Leaving aside the drink question, they tell why living was so unsatisfactory. They show how the change came over them. When many hundreds of people are able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of their lives, they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. Wow, how lucky am I? I get to read this paragraph. For me, I was definitely very confused and baffled, and I thought I was working a program. And it wasn't until I have my current sponsor who has taken me through the Big Book and realized, I guess for me in the beginning, I always thought abstinence was going to be the most important thing. I'll only get abstinence. And today I realized that abstinence is the block from my God. The presence of God is the most important reason. He's everything, and it's very important. And I also wanted to say real quick is that I've written in my book about evidence, and I have a dear friend on my God squad that says she likes to go around and collect evidence, her God, and that's what I'm doing today. I am on a fact-finding mission. With that, I'm going to pass, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Karen M. Appreciate you. We do value everyone's experiences on the line with us today, so we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I'm going to be taking a list of names. I'll take your first name, the first initial of your last name. Who would like to share on what was read today? Go right ahead.
Karen K.
Tina S.
Liz E. UK.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard. There was a lot of
Roz G.
So I'm going to start at the top. All I heard was Karen. So if you could try, go right ahead. Try again.
Karen,
and then I
see Karen K. Oh, got it.
Tina S.
Robin P. in London.
Reva P.
Roz.
Harlan G.
Liz E.
Okay.
UK.
Ilana P. Pittsburgh.
So this is who I heard. Karen, I have no idea what the initial of your last name is. Sorry, you can give it when you get up to pitch. I have Alana, Reva, Robin, Tina, Liz, Roz, and Harlan. All right, let's start there. So if I didn't hear you, my sincere apologies, but it was a lot of people at one time. We're all excited to share about this awesome paragraph. So Karen, you're up to pitch first. If you want to give me the first initial of your last name, I'll give it time on the clock and we'll get started. Go right ahead, Karen.
Thank you. This is Karen KZ in Missouri. And this paragraph has so much significance for me because it is the consciousness of the presence of God is the most important fact of my life. And I just, things have really been tough. I mean, so many people are having so many challenges, and I myself am having some, and in the middle of the night last night I couldn't sleep. And I turned to the presence of God. I turned to the presence of God. I prayed. I affirmed. I connected myself with God because it was better than I couldn't. My mind, I don't know if anybody else, but my mind just goes crazy when there's something going on. And I couldn't stop thinking about this situation and then other situations. And I immediately turned and asked God to remove it and to direct my attention to the fact that He was present, and He was in every circumstance and every situation, no matter how difficult, because it's not just my life, but so many people are sick and get cancer. So many terrible things are happening in life, and I can't make it through this life. I cannot make it without the consciousness of the presence of God. That got me through the connecting and remembering that God was with me. I was not alone, and God was taking care of me, not in the way maybe I was ordering, but that God's plan was better. So I'm just incredibly grateful that I have developed this relationship and I trust and rely on God. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Karen Casey from Missouri. Up next, we have Alana P. from Pittsburgh and then Reva P. Go ahead, Alana. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Elena C. and I spell my name E-L-E-N-A-P.
That's not Elena. I have Alana P. Was there an Alana P?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, Elena. Alana P., go right ahead.
Hi, Alana P., recovered compulsive overeater in Pittsburgh. Thank you so much for all your service. Yeah, everybody wants to share on this. It's so beautiful. Like, the underlying reasons for me that my life was unsatisfactory, I couldn't keep a relationship. I was in debt from spending way over my means. I either enabled or I rejected my son, who's an addict. I couldn't keep a job. I was quitting every 1 to 2 years. I was moving constantly from state to state to country to back to the unhappy all the time, and I dreaded getting up in the morning. And the change came over me. It started when I first listened to this meeting, and I heard the steps, and I heard the study of the big book like I'd never heard in all my years in the beverage program prior. And I did what I was told to do. I mean, I heard, I got a sponsor. I worked the steps through the big book. I totally surrendered to God and to this way of life, so that today I can say, yes, that the presence, the consciousness of the presence of God is the most important thing in my life. And that relationship, I keep building on it every day, because it's not stagnant. It's not ever changing. It changes and it develops and it grows. And it is, as long as I continue to live this way of life, I can continue to get the freedom from food, the freedom from the mental obsession, the freedom to do what I am here to do in this lifetime, which is to be a service to others. I get to have better relationships with my son, with everyone, and I get to hold a job and not be in debt. And I just have all these miracles because the presence of God is the most important thing in my life. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Alana P. from Pittsburgh. We have Reva P. followed by Robin. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. You know, it says, leaving aside the drink question. Life is so unsatisfactory, and there's a futility of existence for me if I'm abstinent only. Because if I just had a physical allergy, I wouldn't need these steps. But if I'm abstinent only, that's when the ism comes out. That's when the self will run riot, the restless, irritable, discontent really, really shows itself. And when I'm in self will, when there is no God in my life, even when I get my way, there's heavy going in life, things just seem futile, and life is unsatisfactory. I'm bumping up against everything and everyone. And this, for me, highlights why I need a higher power, why I need to do the steps to get that power. And, you know, the word power is mentioned so many times in this one paragraph. I need power because if I just control the food, I am a crazy person and life is a mess. And, yeah, when many hundreds of people say, that the presence of God present, that means active relationship present in my life right now, in this moment. A powerful reason why I need to have faith. So this is such a great reminder for me that crazy mind, when I'm not connected to power and my mind is in the disease, life becomes so unsatisfactory. And it's like exactly the opposite of what we read yesterday, that we have purpose and direction and peace and happiness and power. So those present powerful evidence, reminding me that I don't just have a physical allergy. I have an obsession of the mind. And as a result of the crazy mind thinking, life is just very unsatisfactory. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Reva P. Up next, we have Robin. Robin, what's the first initial of your last name, and where are you calling from today?
Hi, thanks for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered eater currently in London, usually Costa Rica. And just so grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting today. Oof. You know, I woke up this morning not feeling very well. It's just traveling a lot, and I'm sensitive to the radiation from electromagnetic field radiation. So I just woke up, having just been through a lot, and you know, I just surrendered to God and was just really praying. And I felt like God helps and just relieves me of that. And I got to just, I can just feel when God just steps right in. I start, you know, praising honestly and singing praise songs and just lifted. And I just know that when I focus on the good and the gratitude and the praise, the problem just dissipates. And it really works to focus on God and being of service to God and my fellows and just what's the next right thing and getting out of self. And I'm so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful for Vision that I get to be on a meeting anywhere I am on the planet. And it's such a gift to hear all of you and to be part of this miraculous recovery. You know, oh my gosh, it's not even the same life. It's literally a gift from God. And we're looking for home. And we've been traveling, looking for home. And God just keeps, we're retired now, my husband and myself. And he's in another 12-step program. And we just, you know, God is showing us one day at a time. And it just takes patience and perseverance, like with anything that's worthwhile, and faith. So I know how to practice that. So God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent weekend. Thanks again, I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. All right, up next we have Tina. Good morning, Tina.
Thanks so much, Jen. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow, what a great meeting, wonderful shares. And yesterday also, you know, one of the things that I loved about yesterday is it told me what it was like before I got this connection with a power greater than myself, you know, and I had this revolutionary change in my way of living, in my way of thinking, you know, and I was always in collapse or despair, you know, and total failure of human resources. You know, that's why today, you know, I have this idea of a power greater than myself that will restore me to sanity, you know, because when I got here, I didn't want any part of that stuff. I didn't come here for the spiritual growth at all. And today, that is why I stay. You know, I'm a different person today. I no longer react the same way that I did. You know, I was always, paralyzed by anything that happened in my life. You know, I didn't know how to act, you know, and I was either dependent on somebody too much or I was just ruling the world or thought I was, you know, and it got me nowhere, you know, and I always say that what my life was like prior got me a couple seats in different 12-step programs, and that's just the truth, the way that I acted, you know, but, you know, and it says, once confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence, because that's the way that it was. You know, that's the way that it was. So, you know, and I also love that it talked about, you know, if I'm just abstinent, look out. Look out. I've been that way for many, many times throughout the years prior to coming into Overeaters Anonymous and getting recovered, you know. And being recovered for me means that I work these 12 steps the best of my ability daily, one day at a time, you know. So I get the relief. You know, I get freedom from the addiction of the food. I get freedom of the way I used to act or react. And today I'm a different person. And, you know, when something's going on, more times than not, the first thought is, help God. And I don't know if it's because of, you know, I can be so OCD where, you know, I'm like, you know, that's part of a mantra that I have. And it doesn't even really matter because that takes the place of what it used to be like, oh, how can I get this? How can I do that? And today, you know, I ask for direction. You know, a lot of stuff has been happening. I'm on vacation next week and I'm so excited, not really going anywhere. But this has been just a week of just crap, you know, owning a home. You know, it seems like everything's going wrong. You know, I need a new refrigerator. I need a washer and dryer, plumbing in my bathroom, you know, the whole crap this week. And I'm like, really? But, you know, what has happened is all of that got resolved. And it wasn't because I sat there thinking, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Or staying in bed and not doing anything. You know, and that's because of a consciousness. And that's because I cultivate a relationship with a power greater than myself that I ask for direction, you know, and I try to do the next right thing, whatever it is. And with that, I'll pass. I'm really looking forward to hearing some more shares. So thanks.
Thanks, Tina S. from Florida. All right, up next we have Liz E. in the UK, followed by Roz G.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Liz E. for Elegant from Bristol in Southwest England, and it's a beautiful day here. Thank you to everybody. And if you haven't done that star one, do that thing. I don't know what I'm going to say. I've asked God to speak through me. So once confused and baffled. Gosh, that's really interesting because I've just been spending an hour with a sponsee going through Bill's story. And I was so baffled before I found these rooms. I knew that my eating was a problem, but I did not know that, and I couldn't understand why I did it or why. I know quite a bit about nutrition. As a nurse, I had to teach it to young mums and all the rest of it, but I just couldn't. And I just felt so hopeless. And that futility of existence, I was just in that bitter morass. And life was hard. It was heavy going. And, so my life was unmanageable. And today I am changed. I do my life differently. I make different decisions. I'm far from perfect, but I am so, so grateful because today I have a program and, I've got friends who aren't in fellowship and aren't in recovery and don't have a program. And their life, I witness, is much harder. But the single most important thing is my relationship with God. And it's no coincidence here that presence has a capital P. The conscience of the presence of God today is the most important fact of their lives, my life. So the presence with a capital P of God in my life is the single most important thing. And, and then I have faith. And for me, I've let go of all sorts of notions of needing to know or understand. I don't need to know. But all I know is that recovery works for me and that I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And that is amazing. And I just need to show up and have God and my higher power at the center of my life and be of service every day of my life. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks a million. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Liz E. from Bristol in the UK. Up next, we have Roz G., followed by Harlan G. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Jen, and good morning, everybody. Boy, the shares have so helped me this morning. Wow, thanks, everybody, for your shares. I'd also, it sounds like I'm not the only one that's going through a little bit of a disappointing time right now. I thought I was the only one. I thought I was unique, but I'm not. And of course I'm kidding, but it's very comforting to hear that, all the shares have, there's been this theme of, there's something heavy in my life, but I'm God is the most important. And same here. I don't like how I'm feeling the past few days. I'm disappointed, feeling rejected and hurt over a work situation. And I know that human rejection is God's protection. I know that in my head. But, there are certain situations at work where I have to go. I have to walk to certain situations. I have to follow directives from uppers at work. And I don't like them. And I don't want to. But I'm doing it. Why? Because I have the consciousness of the presence of God in my life. And it doesn't feel good. And I'm not eating over it. I have a sober mind. I'm seeing clearly. I'm living in reality. And, right now, the past few days, reality in certain situations in my life have not gone my way. But I have faith that God knows what is best for me, that God knows why things happen the way they do, and that I simply need to pick up the simple kit of tools that have been laid at my feet and being honest about my feelings. So no, I'm not feeling the good ship lollipop today, but I am feeling the anchor of the power and presence of God, whether I feel good or not. And I'm giving myself a mental health day today. I'm taking the day off. I'm getting a mani, a pedi, a facial, and a dance lesson. And taking my dogs for a walk. And I'm eating an abstinent food plan. What more could I ask for? Life is good, although I don't have to bring up the crap that I'm feeling. It doesn't matter. I am acting upon what the big book directions tell me to do. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Roz G. And up next, we have Harlan G. Good morning, Harlan.
Good morning, Jen. Thanks for your service. Thanks for taking the meeting. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Fertilizer sucks. It smells. It's disgusting. But isn't the yield of the crop beautiful? This disease putrefied my life from the time I was a little boy, from the time I was 5 and 6 years old. People have been screaming at me, and doctors have been signing my death warrant. And the world conspired, without even knowing each other, to give me a very, very strong signal that I am existentially unacceptable as a fat boy, that I will never measure up to the world's standards, and that I will never be part of the world as long as I'm a fat boy. They thought I was stupid. They thought I was lazy. They thought I lacked willpower. Some people tried to help me. Some people tried to encourage me. Some people tried to make fun of me and hurt my feelings. They were highly successful in doing so. And in the end, life was such that I desperately, desperately wanted to die. I didn't have a plan of killing myself, but I begged God on a daily basis, when I go to sleep, please make sure I don't wake up. I was alone, isolated. My life sucked. It says here, the seeming futility of confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence. Notice it doesn't say the futility of life. It says the futility of existence because I didn't have any type of life. I have lost over 500 pounds. I'm going to walk 3 miles this morning. I am healthy. I'm as healthy as a 70-year-old can be with my history. My heart is good. My lungs are good. As far as I know, I don't have any fatal diseases. But I have a mighty purpose and rhythm that underlay all. And when I get up in the morning, I am lucky to bounce out of bed and say, thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for writing me in the book of life. Thank you, God, that I have a reason to get up in the morning. I am going to be of service to others, and I am going to make sure, God, that I'm maximum service to you, God, and the people about me. And in the end, by working this program, not only do I have a neutrality toward food, I get right with myself, I get right with you, God, and I get right with my fellow human being. There is no better life. Yes, I wish there were different things about my life, no question, but my life is good. My life is good. It has purpose. And human beings could not have put it there. The only way for it to have gotten there was through faith and working these steps. I'm so lucky to be alive, and I am absolutely lucky to be in recovery. Thank you, Vision. Thank you for everything you do. Thanks, Jen, for taking the meeting. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Harlan G. from Arizona. All right. Let me tell y'all where we're at. If you just joined us, we're in the big book. We're in the chapter titled We Agnostics. We're on the last word on page 50. Flip the page to 51. So we're reading Once Confused and Baffled. And then we're ending just four sentences later with Why One Should Have Faith. Awesome paragraph. Great shares today. So we do appreciate Appreciate everyone for sharing your experience, strength, and hope on the line. We ask that you limit your share to every third day. Please share the air with others in order that we get to hear everybody. So if you'd like to pitch this morning, give me your first name, first initial of your last name, one at a time, and I'll take in their list. Go right ahead.
Erin K. in Michigan.
And
Toby W. from
Toby.
Florida.
Sharon C.
S. from New York.
Sharon C.
Danny
and
P.
somebody from New York.
Carolyn S.
Thank you, Carolyn. Carolyn S. And then somebody T. Go right ahead.
Danny T.
Danny, I believe I heard. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Danny. Thank you.
Sandy. All right, let's go ahead and stop there. Thanks, everybody. That was lovely. All right, so up we're going to take Erin K., Toby W., Sharon C., Carolyn S., Danny T., and Sandy. So Erin K., go right ahead. Welcome.
Good morning, Jen. It's Erin K., recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. This is a good one. You know, I think because of the context of what's going on in my life right now, the phrase underlying reasons why they were making heavy going of life, that part stuck out. And I think about these underlying reasons, they're like our causes and conditions. I think, you know, we all have our big why, you know, the reasons, the things that have happened to us, the reasons why we eat, you know, and I think they can easily become our excuses not to change. And I was in that place with my reasons why for a long time. And they basically really, what I came to understand through working steps and waking up is, you know, they were based in old, worn ways of thinking. Like these patterns or grooves in my brain that, you know, my thinking would just drop into every time something happened. And, you know, like these fixed ideas that led to strategies that were faulty, really. That there were, you know, things I would do and say to try to get what I thought I needed to be happy or safe or okay, and they didn't work. And then when they backfired, I felt, you know, baffled and like all of this is futile. And I would eat to sate that feeling. And, you know, I had one of the beautiful miracles of recovery for me was reconciling with my dad, who I was estranged from for many, you know, several years. And we're on good terms in general today, but he called me and kind of put me in the middle of a situation between him and my mom, and they're divorced. So, you know, say no more, right? And immediately I could feel my thinking drop into these old grooves, and these old tapes were playing about who he is and how awful he is, et cetera. And, you know, I can't describe it any other way. It was like the consciousness of the presence of God pulled me right out of that, you know, reached over and stopped that tape from playing and helped me see that these were old, futile patterns of thinking. And I needed to do a 10th step to get out of that and give that old stuff to God, you know. And it enabled me to, you know, navigate the situation with a little bit more serenity and grace and not get angry and say the things I wanted to say. And it led to, you know, a reconciliation between my two divorced parents where they're on speaking terms. And I was able to talk to my dad and we repaired, you know, the little bit of disagreement we'd had yesterday. And I don't know, man, this stuff works. You know, I could never have been vulnerable with my dad before. You know, I think a big part of it is I trust and rely on God to give me that love that I was seeking from humans, you know, for so long. And I'm secure in that. You know, that's my okayness, and it allows me to navigate the relationships in my life with a lot more grace. So with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Erin K. from Michigan. Up next, we have, pardon me, Toby W. from Florida. Hey, Toby.
Hi, Jen, and everybody. Wow, what she is. And I was sitting here saying, what's going on with me? And what's the difference between now and before? And I was streaming Rosh Hashanah service yesterday, and the rabbi said, think about what you did last year. And I said, wow, what a year. And everything that happened, happened for a reason. I'm now living in Florida, just a few miles from my daughter. I'm in an assisted living. And I'm the new kid on the block. Where I was before, I was somebody that everybody knew. And I knew almost everybody. And it's hard being the new kid on the block. And what else is hard? My body. My mind, thank God, is well, but it's very difficult for me to walk, to stand. And here, there was PT in the building, and I get either PT or OT almost every day. I wasn't getting that back in Boston. So, God had a plan. It wasn't my plan to move here. But God had a plan, and I went along with it. And there were some things that are real hard, which they're not taking my food issues seriously. And it's hard to get what I need from them. But there are grocery stores. And I can order on Instacart and get what I need. And I am filled with awesome joy because I have a God that is personal to me. And sometimes my conversations with God is help, and sometimes it's just saying thank you, and sometimes it's long conversations. Sometimes it's through writing. And I remember talking to a rabbi once and saying, I don't feel God. And her answer was, you don't have to feel God, you just have to know there is one. And I know there is one.
Time, please.
And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Toby W. from Florida. Up next, we have Sharon C. from New York, followed by Carolyn S. Go right ahead, Sharon.
That's formidable, thank you. If we but knew and practiced who we are and whose I am, then all would be problem-free, disappointment, pure love, and clarity of purpose would come into view. God's purpose for me would be revealed, God's grace to all who struggle with this powerless but mighty disease. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you. All right. Next, we have Carolyn S., followed by Danny T. Good morning, Carolyn.
Excuse me. Hi, this is Carolyn S. from New York, a recovered compulsive overeater. And haven't been consistent about getting on this phone line, certainly not live. So I'm very grateful today that God you know, helped me to get up and be here and nudged me to share. So, yeah, you know, I have had a lot of challenges in my life, as we all have, and there were times when I didn't understand, you know, life was painful. Like, why did I have to be here? Why couldn't I just check out? You know, it wasn't that I was going towards something in my mind. It was just that I was ending the suffering. And that's a really hard way to live, waking up and wishing you weren't there. But today I see that existence isn't futile. I am making a difference in other people's lives. And I am doing God's will as best I can figure out what that is. I am looking, you know, to the day and seeing, okay, what would God have me do today? I talked to my sponsor yesterday and I explained that, you know, that I feel like I've been letting things slide that I didn't before. And one of them is getting up in time to hear this meeting live. But there's other things too. And it, you know, I had a food nightmare that I'd eaten and so relieved when I woke up and hadn't. But, you know, we worked out an action plan. I did a lot of work on my program yesterday and I feel so much better now, you know, and there's no doubt in my mind that the presence of God is what makes all the difference. It makes me want to be here. It makes me want to be a better person. It makes me want to be of service to others to fulfill my purpose. You know, God is my employer. He's also my loving parent, and he knows what's best for the world, and he put me here for a reason, and I just pray each day to know and follow his will for me, to be of service to others, and to be honest. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Carolyn S. from New York. Up next, we have Danny T. Where are you calling in from, Danny?
Good morning, Jen. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Danny P. I'm recovered by God's grace. I'm calling from Brazil. Yeah, that's a very interesting paragraph because it reminds me the second part of step one. You know, okay, powerlessness over food is a problem. But leaving aside this question, I'm confronted to the disease of unmanageability. Why my life is so unsatisfactory? Why I have this existence of futility? Because of the disease of unmanageability. Because of the disease of the will. My self-centeredness, my selfishness, I'm victimized by this illusion, by this delusion that I can obtain satisfaction out of this world if I only manage well, if only everybody follows my script, if only circumstances will meet my expectations. So this is the second part of step one. And this is the exact nature of my disease. And the treatment of this disease, of the second part of step one, will start in the next chapter, in step four. This is when the treatment will start for my disease. And hopefully, for the steps, here I don't need to find God. I don't need to find this power. I just need to believe or be willing to believe. That's all. And then I move on and I will start the treatment of the real disease. My real disease, the second step, the second part of step one. And hopefully I will find this power by working the steps entirely abstinent. And I will increase my consciousness of his presence. And I will be transformed by his presence. And today, that's the central fact of my life. this consciousness of God's presence, I've been transformed. I was extremely self-centered, and now I'm more God-centered. Now I don't have this existence of futility. I'm helpful. I'm useful. And it's only by God's grace. It's only because of God's presence in my life. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Danny T. from Brazil. Up next, we have Sandy. Sandy, give me the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from today, please.
Hi, this is Sandy S., usually from Asheville, but currently in Florida. Wow. I can't even say anything. If anybody knows about the news, Asheville was devastated last week. And, you know, the whole thing with me is it's my brain. I mean, that's where I have the allergy of the body. I so overreact to everything. And I'm powerless over the overreactions. I just want to say that, you know, I believe I am unique and so is everyone else. For me, I could never be abstinent without a higher power. I was just not one of those people that could do it. I, even today, after years and years of abstinence, I'm not neutral with food. Can you believe it? Not neutral with food. I have to pray to God every single meal to help me stop. So that's just my unique thing. But the big unique thing for me is after all these years of abstinence and working the steps, absolutely 100%, because I was so devastated in my previous life, just did not want to live. I'm beginning to experience real inner peace, and that's what the presence of God is. Not a lot of real inner peace, but you know, it's in God's time. I just want to say that. I want to put that out to everyone there, whether you cannot get abstinent, whether you've been abstinent for a long time. Today is a new day, and who knows why my path is why my path is. But there's one thing I want more than anything in life. I want real inner peace. I want to feel in my body. For me, the powerlessness was, I'm going to start crying, was this constant agitation, creating these soap operas that most of the time weren't true. And the only way I could live with these soap operas where I hated myself or whatever I was doing was to compulsively eat. And I shared that I had a spiritual experience that removed fear for me of everything in terms of food, but really replaced it with love. So I just want to share that God's presence is love. And anytime I experience love, I am experienced God. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sandy S., for getting on the line with us this morning and sharing. Appreciate it. All right, we have about 2 minutes left. Would anyone like to take the last share?
Lisa B.
Go ahead, Lisa. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina. And this has been such a rich, full meeting, and I needed to hear what everyone said. I love how it talks about leaving aside the drink question, why telling living was so unsatisfactory. And I love how someone said that, you know, I was unhappy even if I got everything I wanted. And that's uncovering what the real problem is. I need to have that personality change. And it's the spiritual awakening, the consciousness of that, the presence, that is what makes the difference for me. And I hear it in your voices. And that's what drew me into this meeting from the beginning. I wasn't able to ever stay abstinent on my own. I just couldn't even imagine a life of abstinence. And the precise formula that's laid out in this book brought about a change. But, you know, I still hit bumpy spots, and that's what I've heard you all share. It's been a tough, tough, bumpy place for me lately. But, and I'm so grateful to be leaning in to God and my fellows and the 12 steps. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa B. It's L-E-E-S-A-B from South Carolina. Thanks for everybody for hopping on the meeting today and hearing from futility to faith. I think that's what we heard, right? That futile way to live. So
So glad that we have everybody on the line this morning. We're going to be sharing thank you for everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. Are you ready for the share ID for today, Friday, October 4th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time? The share ID is 21802. That's 21802. 21802. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and that's going to be followed by the Serenity Prayer. Our closing reader today will be Anita L. Please read a vision for you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.